For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple.
Let me invite you to turn your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22. I don't plan to preach a long message today, but I pray that it is a message that is impactful. And the truth is, the message is today a call to action for us. We've heard much in our revival meeting, and really a call to action for God's people to move forward and to stand for the Lord. And now more than ever, we need that. If there was ever a time when God's people need to stand, it's in these last days. And we need to stand. We need God's people to be God's people. And for our nation and for our homes, for your home and mine, for our church family and this community, God's people must stand. It's a wicked day that we're living in, of course, yes. And that means that there is a battle that is waged against us, that it is waged against God's people. That's why we read that verse out of the hymn, you know, though the enemy is flooding against us, we can stand back like Saul's army and look at the Goliath and say, who will go and fight him? As he curses our God and as they press against the armies of God. Or we can be like a David and stand up and say, is there not a cause? I'll be a David. By the way, David was not a mighty man of war. David was not a political leader. David was a shepherd. You may say, well, I can't be a David. Well, neither was David a David at that moment. He was just a young man that had a heart for God. And same goes for all the men and women of God. They were nobody until they just decided to stand for God. That's why we know who they are. And so we have here in this history of Israel, the prophet Ezekiel is speaking. And he is speaking in a time of darkness for Israel. He's speaking in a time when they have been sieged upon. And they've been taken to captivity, many of them. And Ezekiel was speaking out against the sin of his people, against God's people, their sin. And as he is preaching, he is outlining and laying out their sin. But he calls for action. Beginning in verse number 23, Ezekiel chapter 22. And can we pray and ask the Lord to help? Would you pray for me, please? And I'll pray for you as we join in this together. Father, I do pray as we come to this message, Lord, that you would help our hearts to see and hear and receive, Lord, what you have for us. Lord, in this day, may we be rallied to action. May we realize our responsibility. Lord, as we present the message, God, I pray that you'd help by your Holy Spirit as only you can. And Lord, as we hear it, I pray that we receive it through the help of your Holy Spirit as only you can. And God, may we do and obey what we've been given by the help of your Holy Spirit that is in us. And we'll ask this in Christ's name and amen. Verse number 23 will begin. The word of the Lord came unto me, that is Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, say unto her, that is Israel, thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy, yea, have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. God spoke of the different categories, if you will, of people there. The prophets, the priests, the princes, and the people. God alliterated that for us. He said, I sought among all of them for a man, for a person that would stand in the gap, that would make up the hedge and stand in the gap for them in the land. He said, but I found none. He said, this is why the judgment has come upon the nation of Israel. He said, because I was looking for a man, but I found none. He said, I was looking for someone to make up the hedge in the gap. And he said, I saw it among, notice, if you would, again, in verse number 23, the prophets. He said, there was a conspiracy of her prophets. I'm speaking of those who were there to deliver the word of God to the people. He said, I looked for a man among the prophets. He said, but they were like a roaring lion. He said, they have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure of precious things. Instead of delivering souls, the preachers or the prophets, he said, they were devouring souls. They were making widows. Judgment was falling because of them. They were taking precious bribes under the table to speak, thus saith the Lord. Notice in verse number 28, he said that they have daubed the wall with untempered mortar. If you can picture this building of a wall and the mortar or the mud that was daubed upon it, it was untempered. In fact, it was mixed improperly. And they just smattered it on. And if you had time, we won't take the time, but mark this in your notes or in your Bible in chapter 13. Read chapter 13 beginning in verse number 10 and see what God was saying to the prophets who daubed the walls with untempered mortar. He said, I am sending a rain, a flood that will come against that wall. And he said, it will fall. He said, you're plastering it with lies. You're speaking untruths. Paul told Timothy, there will come a time in the last days where you'll heap to yourself teachers having itching ears. And he told Timothy, you preach the word, preach the truth. These prophets were preaching lies, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when he said, I have not spoken. He said, I saw it among the prophets and found none. Verse 26, he said, I looked among the priests. He said, they have violated my laws. Who are the priests? The priests were there to keep the law. They were there to deliver and carry out the orders of the law for the people. They were the standards in the place of God. They were the go-between for the people. And he said, the priests have violated my law. Read on, verse number 26. They have profaned my holy things. Those holy things, notice they're mine holy things. Things. They are the Lord's holy things. Far be it from us to take the holy things of God and mix them with the secular, with those things that are worldly, those things that are sensual, those things that appeal to the senses just for our own pleasure. It's not ours to do. That is not ours to tamper with. He said, the priests have profaned mine holy things. They have mixed the clean with the unclean. It's like plastering that mortar, the wrong mixture. It said, it will not stand up. They that worship me, God said, must worship me. Here's the mixture, in spirit and in truth. He said, my priests, they've profaned the holy house of God. He said, I am profaned among them. Couldn't find a man among the priests. They're princes. These would be the political rulers, the leaders, the governors. In the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. The prophets were for sale. They were taking bribes. The priests were secular, mixing the clean with the unclean. The princes were selfish. They weren't ruling for the people, helping the people. They were there to pad their pockets for selfish, dishonest gain. In fact, he said they were like ravening wolves. You ever seen on these videos, these wolves piling upon their prey? I mean, just biting at each other, snarling, tearing flesh, destroying just to get their own gain. He said, that's their princes. Verse 29, he said, the people of the land. Doesn't leave anybody out, does he? That's you and me. The people of the land, he said, have used oppression. They've exercised robbery. They've vexed the poor and the needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. The people were just all out sinful, waxing worse and worse and heading further and further away from the things of God and the ways of God and heading down the path of transgression. He said, I saw it among the people. Look again at verse number 30. And I saw it for a man among them. He said, but I found none. Why was Israel in the situation they were in? Why were they being judged? You may say, well, it was because of the sin of the land, and yes, it was. You may say, well, it was because of the leadership, and yes, that's true. But what if God had found a man among them? What if God could have found someone who'd say, I'm willing to stand in the hedge and make up the gap. I'm willing to stand for my nation. I mean, I think back through Scripture, it's full of those men and women who stood in the gap throughout time. I think of Noah who stood in the gap for a nation. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and for the whole world, and the human race literally was saved by one man standing in the gap. You think that Noah, was it possible? Could it be possible that Noah was the only man in all of human, on the whole world that was living for God? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, standing in the gap. Think of others like Moses when he stood in the gap for Israel. God wanted to destroy them. He said, I'm going to start all over with you, Moses. And Moses prayed unto the Lord. And he said, Lord, why do you want to destroy them? And Moses stood in the gap. He made up the hedge for his people. Others like David who said, is there not a cause? He stood in a gap. And those three Hebrew boys who stood when everyone else was bowing, and they stood and said, we'll stand in the gap. And others like Esther, for such a time as this, who was a nobody, and God raised her to be the queen. And for such a time like that, she stood in the gap for her people. She said, if I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. But I'm willing to stand in the gap. The Lord is seeking. He's calling to action someone to stand in the gap. We think about that hedge. He says, to make up a hedge. What was a hedge for? That hedge was twofold. There were two types of hedges. The hedge would keep danger from coming in. Whether it was a hedge around a vineyard, it was to keep the foxes from spoiling the vineyard. Or if it was a wall around a city, it was there to protect from the enemy coming in and destroying. It was a barrier. Or there's the other type of hedge that was a barrier not from the enemy, but follow me, it was a barrier from the judgment and wrath of God upon the people who were inside of it. Remember what Satan said to God about Job? He said, "You've put a hedge of protection about him." That was to protect him from the enemy. But here God says, let's read the verse. Let me make sure I tell you exactly how he says it. "I sought," verse 30, "for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none." The hedge is there. It's a wall of people. It is a wall of God's people who are living righteously for Him. It's a wall around a nation. It's a wall around a church. It's a wall around your home. It's a wall around us individually of people who are saying, "I'll stand for God and I'll live righteously and I'll walk arm in arm with those who'll stand for right, and we'll make up a hedge and we'll pray to the God of heaven that He'll send His blessings for our sake and for the righteousness' sake and preserve our land." But he said there's something in this hedge, and I want to draw your attention to that this morning, and that is the gap. The gap. If you want to give the message a title, that is the message, the gap. We could think about the hedge and talk about the hedge, and we have. But what God is drawing our attention to here is the hole, the gap that's in the hedge. God is looking. God is looking for someone to make up a hedge in this day, in our nation, in our church. Our nation has benefited from the stand of generations of people before us. I mean, I'm thankful. I'm so thankful for our country. I'm thankful for the America that was founded upon the things of this book, the Word of God. I'm so thankful for the truth that we've stood on, what those stripes stand for and those stars, those colors. I'm thankful for that. And there's a generation and generations before that that have stood and made up a hedge, and God has blessed this great nation because of those people and because of what they stood for, because they stood in the gap and because they stood in the hedge and they said, "We'll live righteously before the God who is our Creator." But they've gone on. They're not any longer here. And there is a gap. And God wants to fill that gap. May I ask this question? Why is there a gap? If God's people are still on earth and God's people are still living according to the Word of God, why is there a gap? Let me tell you just a few things here this morning why there is a gap. There's a gap, number one, because some have gone up. Some have gone on up. Some have gone on to glory. They've gone to their reward and they have left an empty spot. We can look around this auditorium and in this choir loft in spaces, and we can see empty holes where someone once sat that is no longer here. They're in glory. They've gone up. Someone that stood in the gap, someone that stood when this church was starting and when this church was moving and when God was working, and they stood in their place, and like Gideon's army, they all stood ready for God to work. But their spot is missing. It's empty, excuse me. They're missing. And we miss them. And I can, as I look out through here, I can think of them. And I can start naming names, but I'd miss somebody for sure. But you think of them. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your father, your mother that once sat here when you were younger with you. I can't help but think of my grandfather who's in heaven. He's gone up. I think of some Sunday school teachers and people that I had growing up in church. Miss Hogsett, I know Brother John mentions her a lot. Think of Bill and Mary Lou Bartlett, Brenda, Eddie. People that knew me when I was in diapers. and stood in the gap. And again, we can name them over and over and over again here. They stood in the gap for us, before God, for the land, for our church, for our nation, for this community, for your families. And they taught and they preached and they soul win and they went and lived for God and they lived righteously and stood for right for us. But they've gone up. They've reached their reward. Paul said to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. Paul was telling Timothy, I have finished my course and I've kept the faith. He said, I'm departing. My time of departure is at hand. He went on to tell Timothy, but continue thou. I'm going up. He said, but someone's got to stand in the gap. Someone's got to fill in that spot. Someone's got to be the next deacon in this church. Someone's got to be the next trustee or the next Miss Hogsett or the next Brenda, or excuse me, Miss Conley or Bill Bartlett. And on, the names go, the Clay Mitchells. Who's going to stand in that gap? Who will be the Timothy that says, I'll preach the word. I'll stand in the gap. David, is there not a cause? Who will step in the gap in this generation? Some have gone up, but let me say this, some have given up. There are some who have given up. As we look around us, it's very clear. And now, more than ever, we're seeing what Paul told Timothy, some shall depart from the faith. And I don't know if we're seeing a great falling away or what we're seeing. And I'm thankful for who's here today. I'm thankful that you're here today. And I thank the Lord for the comeback that we've had. But we can all, and even times past, know that there are people who we once marched arm in arm with, who have given up. They've given up on truth. They've given up on righteousness. Given up on God. And they've left a hole. They've left a gap. Now, I don't mean to be so negative, but we've got to stand for the truth. We've got to stand for old-time religion. And I know that may sound cliche. And when I say old-time religion, I don't mean 50 years ago. I mean 2,000 years ago. Let's stand for the truth. Let's be the church that God has built. The Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. He said, the priests have mixed the profane with the holy. Some have given up on the holy things of God. They've mingled it with the secular things and said, this is what I feel better with. And my friends, we're not going to reach the world by being like the world. We shouldn't tailor our worship of God. By the way, worship is adoration of a holy God. How do we worship and adore a holy God with secular, sensual worship? That's just an oxymoron. There's no such thing. But some have given up and left the truth. Would you turn with me back to Deuteronomy chapter 4? Hold your place here. Deuteronomy 4. Verse number 1. Hundreds of years prior, this was being said to the nation of Israel. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1, Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments, Moses speaking here, by the way, which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught. I'm talking about standing for the truth, not giving up on the truth, not giving in to the flesh. But he says, ye shall not add to it, nor diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Look, if we change the truth, we cannot obey the truth. If we change it, we can't keep it. If we change it, we'll not live by it. If we allow the world to press against us to the point that we're changing the truth of God and we're not standing for truth and righteousness, eventually we'll give up on it because it's no longer the truth. It's no longer what God has said, thus saith the Lord. It's what we've made it to become. But he goes on to say, look at verse number 4, but ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord thy God, my God, commanded me. This is Moses. That ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes. And here's what the other nations will say. Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. He said, your wisdom and your understanding come from the Word of God. Other nations will say you're a great nation because you've stood on the Word of God and because you have this wisdom and this understanding, this discernment that none of the others have. It's because of the Word of God. It's not because we have red, white, and blue stripes and stars. It's not because of G.I. Joe or a president in the White House. It's because of the Word of God and God's people standing upon that Word of God, a nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And he goes on to say, for what nation is there so great with God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? But notice the heed, the warning. Only take heed, he said, to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Talking about why there's a gap, some have given up. Notice what he said there in verse number 9. Only take heed to thyself. How does a nation fall? How is truth fallen in the streets? One individual at a time. If you take heed to yourself, and if I'll take heed to myself, and if I'll keep myself in line with the truth of God's Word, and if you, sitting where you sit, and standing where you stand, and serving where you serve, if you keep yourself in tune with the Word of God and the statutes of the Lord, and keep it in your heart. Notice he goes on to say, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart. The Lord said to Israel, hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy 6, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I say unto thee this day shall be in thine heart. In thine heart. It's not a collective thing. Yes, we're a church and we are a church family and we are an organism that works together, but a church is only as strong as the individuals that make it up. Some have given up because they failed to do what he said here. Be diligent to keep thyself. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Look to your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Some have departed from the faith and given up. Some have not counted the cost. They started but didn't count the cost and are not able to finish. Others, like Paul told Timothy, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What are you in love with today? Do you love the truth? Do you love God? Or have you fallen in love with this world? If you've fallen in love with this world, you'll start mixing. First thing you'll do is start mixing it. The profane with the holy. Before you know it, you'll leave the holy behind. And you go holy with the world. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Why is there a gap? Because some have given up. And may I say, thirdly, there's a gap because some have not gotten up. Some have never gotten up. Some have never gotten in the battle. Some have never said, I'll step into the battle. I'll be a David. I'll be a Daniel. I'll be a Moses. I'll be an Esther, a Ruth, a Mary. I'm thankful that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm thankful for the day when David said, "Is there not a cause?" Thankful for a moment where Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness, and he stood in the gap for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that? For Lot. Abraham prayed and stood in the gap for Lot. God spared Lot only in his family because of Abraham standing in the gap. I'm thankful for those, but we stand in an hour of great need. We stand in an hour of darkness where people have given up and some have gone up and there are gaps. Will you step in the gap? Will you get up into the gap? And will you stand for the Lord? And will you say, "Yes, I'll be the next," you name somebody. "I'll be that next great saint that I knew, that one that I looked up to that's now gone up. I'll be the next one to step in the gap. I'll get up." God said, "I sought for a man." That's, of course, we know, an individual, a person. Among them, God is looking. He's recruiting. He's seeking. Maybe you found yourself relaxing, taking at ease, finding room for someone else. We always look and say, "Someone else can do that. I've done it for so long, it's someone else's turn." No, listen, folks, it's not time when the battle gets hot. It's not time for soldiers to start laying down the swords and putting off the armor and saying, "Well, here's someone else, take my sword." No, you may be weary in the battle, but trust the Lord. Don't grow weary of the battle. Stay there, fight, put on the whole armor of God. Take up the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and all of those things, the helmet of salvation, and get in the fight and get up and say, "I'll be the one to stand in the gap." It only takes one to say, "Okay, this is my hole. I can handle my spot." So how do I do that? Let me just give you a few things quickly, practically. I mean, let's put the boots on it. Let's make it action here. How do we stand in the gap? First of all, just be willing. Be willing. You know how you join the U.S. Army? Start out by just being willing. I'll serve. The Lord is looking. He was looking for someone who was willing. Someone who said, I'll fight. I'll stand. I'll serve. Isaiah, the Lord said, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" You know what Isaiah said? "Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me." David said, "Is there not a cause?" Just be willing. Are you willing to get in the fight for the Lord? Are you willing to be a soldier of the cross? Are you willing to stand in the gap for righteousness' sake? Stand for the truth. You want it for your children? Do you want to be one of those who, when you're gone, they can say, "My father, my mother stood in the gap"? You want to be one of those gray-haired saints that the young people of the church look to and say, "There's someone standing in the gap, and when they're gone, I want to stand in the gap. I want to stand in their spot." Do you want it for your children? Do you want it for our nation? Our nation is in great need. We need to stand in the gap for God. Be willing. Number two, may I say, be faithful. Faithful. Full of faith. Believe God can. Believe God will. Believe God wants to use you. Believe God, and righteousness is still worth standing for. The truth still marches on. Folks, let's be faithful. Just believe God can because He can. May I say this, thirdly, love the truth. How do you stand in the gap? Love this book. Love the Bible. Love God's Word. We read there in Deuteronomy chapter 4. I didn't emphasize it. But he said, take heed to yourself diligently. Keep it in your heart. And then he said, and teach it to thy sons' sons. There's a generational responsibility with the truth. Do you love it enough that you want your grandkids to have it? Do you love it enough? I mean, do you love it enough that you want to instill it into the hearts of your children so that they can rise up and teach your grandchildren? Look, I'm not training my children. I'm training my children to train my grandchildren. That's how we need to look at this thing. I'm not just training kids to behave and hope they do a little better or hope they make it. No, I'm training my children so that my grandchildren will have what was given to me. And so that the thing will carry on. This church can stand a generation when we're gone. And this nation will have a righteous people that say, I love the truth, and we're willing to stand for it. Be willing, be faithful, love the truth, relay it to the next generation. Have it in your heart so that you can teach it, so that you can speak it, so that you can stand for it. And then may I say finally, how do you stand in the gap? By praying. By praying. Ephesians tells us to take on the armor of God, the sword, the helmet, the shield, the breastplate, loins girt about with truth, feet shod with preparation, the gospel, peace. Take on the whole armor, do all this so you can stand, and that's all right and true. And when it comes to the end of that passage, it says praying always. With all prayer and supplication. And then it ends that verse, it says, praying for all saints. In other words, yes, we're soldiers, and God equips us with the things we need for battle. But the greatest thing we can do for one another, if we're going to win this war, if we're going to stand in the gap, is prayer. Pray for our nation. Pray for mercy. Pray for forgiveness for our sins, the sins of our nation. May we stand in the gap for our church, for our family. In wrath, God, remember mercy. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, where's God looking? He's looking at his people. He wasn't looking to the pagans. He wasn't looking to the unbelievers. He was looking at his people. And he said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. He said, and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face. He said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. There's some things there we've got to do. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to forsake our sin. Our sin. We don't have to forsake the sin of the lost. We don't have to forsake the sin of our nation. We have to forsake our sin. God's people forsaking our sin, our unrighteousness. He said, then I'll hear your prayer from heaven. He said, I'll forgive that sin and I'll heal your land. We need a wave of righteousness to move across our land for God's forgiveness to come. For God's healing to come. Will you stand in the gap? God says, I sought for a man among them. Will you step up? It's not about being able. It's about being available. Are you available? Are you a shepherd boy that come to check on your brothers that says, I'll step up? Are you one of those Hebrew boys that were basically slaves in a pagan land that said, when it's time to bend and bow before Baal, I'll stand for righteousness. Will you stand in the gap? Are you available to God to do some of these simple things to make up the hedge?